2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch, brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to try out everything that we got going on behind the barrack walls here in the Army. And after that, if you like us so much, make sure you use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Let's talk about the 7 free days, though. You know, when you try us out, you do get access to the Domination Station. This week, in fact, would be a great time to do so since we got the U.S. Open coming up on Thursday for PGA. I'm very excited about that. So Domination Station can help you build up to 150 lineups with our custom projections and everything that we got to go along with it. Not only that, you get all of our VIP baseball tools as well. Really is a great offer there for 7 free days. So once again, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, for your free 7-day trial. And after that, use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. I am your host, Al Walsh. It's been a while since we've heard my voice. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Also been a while since you heard Keith Hall's voice. You can find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So Keith was actually doing a little bit of company work along with our buddy Adam Wagner down in Dallas this weekend for the fantasy football convention that we had going on down there. Now, you weren't involved with the bar altercation with Zeke Elliott last night, were you?
I was not involved with the bar altercation. I was already home. It's actually kind of funny because, you know, they come out with this thing, what was it, Friday? It was Friday afternoon. You know, the NFL likes to drop, you know, bombs and everything like this on Friday afternoon. Well, NFL beat reporters and insiders have decided that they want to start trying to do this as well. So what they ended up doing was dropping about 5 o'clock when I'm on my way to Dallas that Zeke Elliott, I get this update on my phone, that Zeke is bracing for a 1 or 2 game suspension. And I'm like, all right, so let's see if this there was an experts draft that happened at noon on Saturday. You know, guys like Matthew Berry, Cousin Sal.
Love Cousin Sal.
He's hilarious, dude. He was absolutely hilarious. But a lot of these guys were, you know, a part of it. And I sat down and I was taking notes and everything. And going out with the picks and all this other good stuff. It was full point PPR. And, you know, I'm going to write an article about it and kind of post out in exactly what happened. Have to do it to be able to keep my media credentials with this in case we want to go next year. Cool. But, you know, it's one of those things that is pretty cool because I think Cousin Sal with the third pick took Zeke Elliott, if I'm not mistaken. And then as he's sitting down and it's about to go to the next pick, he goes, now don't get suspended. No, sorry, it was Byron Lambert that did that. He had the number 3 overall pick. You know, Jersey Jen was there, Stefania, Liz Lola, Stacy Stern, Rick Wolf, Brad Evans, Bob Harris, Cousin Sal, Byron Lambert. They were all in there. It was Cousin Sal because he did have the third pick. I'm sorry.
And by the way, remember, I told everybody, Stefania Bell's a babe in real life.
Oh, dude.
Way better than she looks on TV.
Yes. TV.
You don't get the full scope.
TV does not do Stefania Bell justice at all. At all. And I think that has a lot to do with the way that ESPN dresses her and stuff like that, too.
Well, not only that, but you only get, like, you know, half of the torso up. There's more going on with Stefania there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more. But anyways, It was really kind of cool. It was a lot of fun. Got some new and interesting things that we're gonna probably as far as strategy wise, it wasn't like anything, you know, groundbreaking or anything like that, but some other concepts of some games to play fantasy football. I did find out, and I actually like a couple of them. And so we're going to hopefully, you know, get some guys on the pod and talk about that and maybe get some sponsorship and some affiliate codes to give some guys some a chance to, you know, earn money in different ways other than DFS. So,
boom.
I think it was pretty good. You know, Wags is a marketing media guru.
And, very, very energetic, very go-getterish.
Yes, yes, he is. So, but besides the fact that he, you know, left his jacket in Austin and got like 90 minutes away from Austin, had to turn around and go back and then come back. It was a pretty much a success. So
that's so Wags. That's so Wags. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah, me and Wags have actually, we, you know, when I first started in DFS, me and him. I actually started together with Nick Rodriguez, who's with Guru Elite now. And I've actually met – Wags has been to Bayonne, New Jersey. I took him out to the local watering hole, The Rock. What's up? We took him out there the first time, and then we hung out in New York City. Had a blast at the Roto Grinders conference there. So, yeah, good. Always good when members of the Army can meet each other. So, you know, I met Kevin. I believe Chop met Kevin recently. So – We're getting some faces here with these names. We'll work on me and you next, Keith.
Yeah, it'll happen sooner or later. So,
man, we've been doing shows for what, over 18 months now. Still have yet to meet each other.
Exactly. But you know, it's one of those things. That's what happens in this industry. We work from behind computer screens, and Guess what? We make a lot of money and have fun doing it.
Indeed. Speaking of making a lot of money, I had a fantastic weekend. Friday and Sunday were my main days. Did absolutely great work. I had it all the way up to about, 1,000% ROI coming on Sunday. And then I went with Sean Manaea yesterday against the Indians, which the guy damn near gave me a heart attack in that start yesterday. But what an outing. And, you know, we've got something from that game yesterday that I kind of want to take into that Indians-Giants game today, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, we've been talking a lot about personal life and fantasy football here, but this is the MLB Daily Dispatch, so let us get into some of the people that we like today. Let's start it off with some stacks. Now, pitching is going to be interesting today because I don't think, as I just said in the Slack chat, I don't think there's a guy that I'm worried about putting up like 60 plus. So I think that, you know, we don't necessarily have to go to the top of the pitching tier, but I think that that's going to allow us to get a ton of these high powered bats going in today. So I think for me, obviously the Astros going up against the lefty, they are tops in the league with weighted runs created plus and WOBA against left-handed pitching. So I think that's a fine option. Are the Astros your number one, or are you looking somewhere else tonight?
I don't know how you can't have the Astros number one, but I think they're going to be chalk. Ariel Miranda is a guy that I like to target at home, not on the road. Now, he does have a 3.05 ERA. He's only got a 1.14 whip. This season, he's got the highest strikeout percentage on the evening, but you know, sorry, that was Lance McCullers. They're right next to each other. sorry. He's got a 4.15 whip with the five Sierra, or 1.15 whip. I'm sorry, but it's. He's got one of the higher soft contact rates, but what can you say about the Astros? The last 30 days, they're striking out less than 17% of the time. They've got over a 380 WOBA and a 222 ISO in the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. So
yeah, girl.
It's kind of hard to really, really, really get into that. The only team that I'm worried about possibly as maybe a pivot, there's actually two teams that I think could possibly compete for them. The Indians and the Tigers. Both of these teams, let's start with the Tigers, okay? They're going up against Jason Vargas, who's been a DFS darling this season. You know, but he's got a 276 BABIP, which means that the defense has been playing well. He's got under a 40% ground ball rate. That's one of the lowest of the evening. But the WOBA that the Tigers have put up against left-handed pitching, 372 WOBA, 237 ISO, and still only striking out 21% of the time. I think it's a little contrarian to go there because a lot of people don't like playing, especially Stacks in Kansas City. And it's going to be hot. It's scorching in the Midwest this week. So the humidity's up there. It's going to be a hot day. So I think I really like the Tigers as maybe a pivot off of the Astros. And then the Indians aren't too far behind going up against Matt Moore, as we know. Now, granted, this is a ballpark that we know doesn't really suppress or really tend to lean towards good offense. But I mean, these are guys. You got Edwin, you got Jose Ramirez. These are guys that, you know, can hit it out of freaking Yellowstone. They don't need a good ball. They don't need Coors Field in order to hit home runs. So I really do like them as a pivot. Maybe not. If you go like with an Astros stack, go with like the mini Indians or Detroit Tigers stack to kind of give you a little bit of lower ownership with
the mini Indians. I like
the mini Indians with that chalk owner or with the chalk stack. So that's kind of what I'm looking at today. It's really, really, really hard to find a SP2 that I'm comfortable with. So I'm thinking on DraftKings. So I'm thinking I might just punt the heck out of it and load up on some bats. So
yeah. Let's not forget your Colorado Rockies taking on Luis Perdomo. You know, he has induced a lot of ground balls this season, but a lot of these Rockies do have pretty good numbers against him. A lot of them have like around 10, 11 at bats against him. Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado, DJ LeMahieu, even Carlos Gonzalez, even though I'm a little weary about playing him lately, but a lot of these Rockies are looking good against Perdomo today. So I could certainly be intrigued by that. And then, Texas Rangers today going up against Chris Tillman of the Orioles. I think if you're looking, if you are paying all the way up at pitching tonight, a lot of these Rangers are pretty cheap there on FanDuel that you could fit four of them in easily without batting an eye. So yeah, I'm looking at guys, you know, Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrews, you know, whoever's catching. I think that's probably a good way to go, you know, with your catcher today, whether it's Luke Roy or Chirinos. You know, Tillman just gets beat over the head by both sides of the plate, so I could certainly get down with that. We've also got a total of 11 in that game at Camden Yards today. So, you know, that's something that we usually don't see in the total sense. Now, we have seen it in the actual runs in the games, but for the total to be at 11 at Camden Yards is something that, you know, we haven't seen ever, if not in a long time.
Yeah, the Rangers are interesting just because of the fact that if you look at their peripheral numbers, 336 WOBA, 247 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days, but they are still striking out at 24% clip. Now, Chris Tillman doesn't miss a lot of bats. Let's get that straight right now. Only a 7.1%, you know, swinging strike rate, and he's walking a lot of. It's weird because his numbers say that he's due to have a good game at some point, but he's got the highest whip by far at 2.14. I think the Rangers are going to be a pretty chalky stack as well. I think, and we've talked about a lot of this all year, I still don't think, even with the Rockies putting up 13 runs in New York yesterday, I still don't think they're going to be highly owned today because it's a 12-game slate. Right. They might be a little bit higher owned. Since it is the Padres and Perdomo and it is Coors Field and, you know, all this other stuff. But I think a lot of people, because Coors hasn't had that gone off moment consistently yet, I think a lot of people are still going to, you know, they might throw in, if they're throwing in, say, you know, 20 teams, they might throw in three or four Coors stacks. But compared to, like, the Astros stacks, which up until about the All-Star break still at times was relatively low owned most of the time. And compared to like Rangers stacks and, you know, some of these other stacks that are extremely popular, I think that the Rockies are going to be low owned. I think the Rangers is going to be probably the second highest owned stack of the night after the Astros. It's going to be very interesting. I don't think anybody's going to. I think the Tigers are going to be the lowest owned stack of the night. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you talk about your Rockies not being that highly owned, I think a guy like Charlie Blackman will probably be highly owned.
Yeah, Nolan, I think
The last time that I used the Rockies at Coors Field, I think it was just Charlie that was actually highly owned. I think he was like over 50%, but the rest of the team, you really didn't get a lot. And I think even a guy like Reinald Tapia, if he's going to be in there, even like Ian Desmond, guys like that, those are the guys that are going to fly under the radar, but...
Came back off the DL yesterday. He had three at-bats, two hits, scored a couple runs before he came out. It was a precautionary. The game was out of hand already in the fourth inning. He'd already had three at-bats, so he just kind of wanted to get out of there.
He actually got the ass-kicking started.
Yeah, he Trevor Story showed some life yesterday.
He did. I was amazed.
You know, Romeo Tapia.
Of course, it happened against the pitcher I used early on.
Yeah, Romeo Tapia has been, you know, pretty good this year. They're going to have a big decision coming up here in about a week or so, because David Dahl got promoted on his rehab assignment to AAA. And I don't care who you are. I mean, I love this guy. I mean, I love him. He has been one of... the best. He's a top 10 Rocky overall, but this could start to spell the end of Carlos Gonzalez as a Colorado Rocky. And I hate saying that, but the outfield depth that they have, because the Rockies have been linked to JD Martinez.
Wow.
So because of all the left-handed power pitching that's in the division, they've been linked. And
that's interesting. I didn't even hear that one. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, we have broken down some of these nice stacks for you. We will get into it positionally today.
Okay, yeah. Oh. Sorry. I was going to say, if you are stacking the Rockies and he's in the lineup, make sure you pop in Gerardo Parra. Over the last 10 games, he has absolutely just crushed the ball. Right after he came off the DL, he's hitting, I think it's close to 500. He had another two hits yesterday, including a home run. I mean, he's just been absolutely crushing the ball. And it's been – he's a forgotten man out there. So.
All right.
And DJ had another four-hit game last night.
Yesterday. He did. Way to go, DJ. All right, let's get into some of these pitchers today. I think a lot of people are going to head towards Lance McCullers. You know, he does have some pretty good numbers against the Mariners this season. He is 2-0 against them in two starts. Got the ERA under two runs, but he's only gone a total of 11 innings in the two starts there. Now, I like McCullers. I think he's a fine pitcher, but on a night like tonight where he'll probably be the chalk, I don't mind going away from him because, again, I like McCullers as a pitcher, but too many times this guy it's six innings or bust with him. I think maybe once or twice he's made it there to the seventh inning, but there's more of a chance that he doesn't make it six innings than he does.
Twice in the last seven games he's made it to six innings or seven innings. He had a rough start last time out against Toronto, only got into the fifth, five earned runs. He's allowed eight earned runs in his last two starts. But he hasn't pitched since the 6th of July, and a lot of that has to do with the All-Star break. So,
sure.
You know, you can't really take that into effect. He, you know, maybe getting worn down a little bit at the end of the first half. Maybe he comes out and he's rejuvenated. I don't like the price of him on DraftKings. He's 11.5. I'm looking at what he is on FanDuel.
He's not high nines.
Yeah, no, he's 91.
Oh, 91.
Yeah,
okay.
I think on FanDuel he's a lot more doable. You know, he's below John Lester there, and above Eduardo Rodriguez. So he sandwiches the number two, but it's a huge gap between him and John Lester on DraftKings. John Lester's only 9.8 and he's 11.5. Now, the interesting thing is this is not only do we have a couple things that we have to start watching, especially over the next week, but the Astros here, they have a substantial lead.
Mm-hmm.
And do they start pulling back on their starters a little bit? Because we have about, 5 weeks before rosters expand? So do they start pulling back on their starters a little bit to kind of get them some rest? They've got a 16.5 game lead in the division.
Just a bit outside.
No kidding. They are by far the best team in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got the Dodgers in there who, by the way, they've been taking it easy with their starters all season.
Yeah, exactly. So with these guys that are starting to get overpriced, if they're overpriced, do we start to fade them because the upside is capped in tournaments?
You know, it's interesting. I never even really thought about that, but I don't know. I think like mid-July is a little early, but I think, you know, next month in about, 2-3 weeks or so, I think that that's a legitimate argument that we can make. I mean, look, 16 games right now is a huge lead, but I think coming out of the All-Star break, he's well-rested. You know, all that is certainly possible. The thing with McCullough, and again, I know that, you know, I say, oh, you know, he probably won't go this far into games, but, you know, walks are certainly there. Like, he'll usually give up 2 a game. You know, just finishing hitters away has been a problem with him. I mean, not very efficient with his pitching there. I mean, we could say this for a lot of pitchers in the league out there. But I just think that coupled with his ownership today, he does have some decent BVP numbers against Segura, Cruz, Zunino, all guys in that lineup that could give him hell. So, I mean, you know, I think it's fine to roll with McCullers, but again, I think that there are much better bangs for your buck out there on the slate.
Yeah, especially with I think today, and pretty much it's been like this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you can make a legitimate case of, okay, pitching is, I mean, sure, you've got some name potential. You've got Jason Vargas, Marcus Stroman, you know, out there. You've got Lester, Wainwright, and McCullers. But, I mean, you've got guys like Daniel Gossett going against Tampa Bay in Oakland. You've got guys like Brent Suter going against Pitt. Now, I know that Pitt doesn't strike out a lot, but, you know, it's still there. You've got Tom Kohler going against Philly in Miami.
Oh, I got a whole 15 minutes blocked out.
We don't
have
15 minutes for Tom Kohler. I'm sorry.
What, 7.5?
And I mean, I don't like playing this guy on the road, but you've got Jake Odorizzi going against Oakland. I'm actually leaning on the other side of the fence on that one, but it's still a possibility. Indeed. I think this is a great day. You could legitimately, and I think Lester has a bounce back. I mean,
indeed, it can't get any worse.
Well, duh. I mean, two of the best matchups that they've had, that you've had on the slate, were John Lester and John Gray going up against their teams when they just absolutely imploded.
Let's talk about Lester a little bit here. You know, it's a good segue to get into him.
Oh, what I was going to say was, I think today's the day to kind of load up on bats and pick the bats that you want and go from there. And just kind of fill in the pitchers and mix and match. So
I agree. And look, I think a guy like Lester, you know, two starts here before the All-Star break, he was absolutely pathetic. But you look at, you know, some of these other matchups against the Nationals, he had 7 strikeouts, pitched pretty
Holy
well.
Holy crap, Bryce Harper.
you know, he pitched well against the Marlins. Well, he had Padres, Mets, all these games he pitched pretty well. Now, again, a guy like Lester, he's going to fix his mistakes. Like, he's just not going to fall off the face of the earth. This guy was really good last season, you know, pretty much his whole career. You know, a couple spotty outings this year. Now, the road has been his bugaboo. I will say that. Braves have some pretty decent numbers here against left-handed pitching this season. So I don't think it's the greatest. But, yeah, to go more to your point with going with value pitchers today and going with – the bigger bats. That's more or less my sort of thinking. But I do want to talk about Tom Kohler. Now, I won't spend 15 minutes on the guy, but you know me. I've been a Kohler fan for a long time. Ever since we started doing this podcast, you know I've always been a Kohler fan slash apologist. But I went back and I watched that last start of his against the St. Louis Cardinals. He had some really good stuff. His big problem in that game, and I think what's been, you know, going back and reading a lot of stuff this season, finishing guys with two strikes. And I think the Phillies will help him out with some of that stuff today. You know, he was going against a pretty tough Cardinals team last time out. He did get seven strikeouts. But you take a look. I mean, his fastball was only really, you know, going at 92, 93, which it looks a lot faster than it actually is because, you know, he's got that herky-jerky motion. And it just – it looks like he's throwing like 200 miles an hour, but only to that point. But I tell you what, Keith, his breaking stuff is electric. That slider, the curve, the, you know, the changeup that he's got. The changeup is devastating because he's got that motion that looks like – you know, he looks like Thor coming at you. But, you know, and then it just pops in there. But a lot of his stuff was really good. The one issue, though, that I – and a lot of the runs and the big hits that he gave up in that game were like hanging curveballs with two strikes. I think today against the Philly, you know, he's what, 5'7" on FanDuel today? Are you kidding me? I got him listed.
He's the lowest priced pitcher on the slate on FanDuel, and he's one of, I think he's bottom three on DraftKings.
Jesus. But I want to say, and too, Aaron Altair is on the DL now for the Phillies. So that gets him out of the Phillies lineup. And then Cesar Hernandez is coming back, though, for the Phillies, but he's not a huge, like, power threat.
Yeah, but he creates havoc, man. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a bad move. I am probably the advocate for punting pitching because, you know, any guy can have a good day in baseball. That's not the issue. It's just that I feel like, you know, with the way that this season has gone, and you've got to kind of take this into consideration. We've had discussions in Slack about the ball being juice. I mean, Rob Manfred says that it's the bats, and oh, please, come
he
on.
He sneaks into the MLB ball factory at night. Does Rob Manfred think
that today's day and age and today's baseball fans are a bunch of idiots? Because if that's what he thinks, then we need a new commissioner. And I've long said that Peter Gammons should probably be the commissioner.
Whoa, he's going to die like any minute now, though.
So is Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Gammon's, you know, any 30 seconds now. But
so, but anyways, you know, it's with the ball being the way it is and with the weather and all this other stuff, you know, we're on a record pace for home runs. Why are – there's like five – elite pitchers in baseball, like five major elite pitchers. Yeah. You know, if there's not a good deal, why pay up?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to win. Very, very rarely are you going to win a GPP with your pitching. Yeah. You're going to, you can lose it.
Right.
But you're not going to win it.
One thing, you know, strikeouts come into play as well. You know, you can get a guy give up 3-4 runs or whatever, but get 9 strikeouts. We've seen that how many times this season. But, you know, that still works.
But you can get strikeouts at a cheap – that's what I'm saying. You can get strikeouts cheap.
Sure. Oh, and I think Kohler will have plenty of them tonight. Again, this is my favorite. At Kohler's price tonight, 5,700, you need him to get – like 30 points. And again, this is what I was talking about earlier where, you know, I don't see anybody getting to 60 points tonight. I think 50 is even a huge stretch. So Kohler gets 30, go for it.
Here's the issue. I want to see who's behind the plate in that game.
Okay.
As far as umpires. And the reason for that is because he's got an 11.4 walk rate this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's only got an 8.9 swinging strike rate. That's going to have a lot to do with what I want to do with Tom Kohler. If he's got a generous plate umpire, you can legitimately make a case for it. But if not, if he's got a guy that's going to squeeze some people then you have to kind of start looking at Philly's bats a little bit.
Well, I will say the free swing now free with the PH, but the free swing and Phil's, they again, they should help out, you know, whoever. They should help Kohler out and you know, whoever's behind the plate. I get what you're saying. It should certainly help, but again,
that's the only thing I'm scared of with him is he's got a 1.73 WHIP and a 11.4 walk rate. His ERA in 45 innings this year is an 8.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
He's allowed
I'm aware.
40 earned runs. Now, you have to – if you sit there and you look at Tom Kohler, and we just did spend 15 minutes on him.
it's important because, I think a lot of people are going to drift towards him today. Like last night, oh, man, yeah, baby, boo, I'm going to be the sneaky man in the industry. Nope. No, like Kohler's probably going to be pretty popular now that I think about it.
I don't think he is, though.
And if he isn't, that's
unless,
great.
Unless people just blindly – you think people just blindly play people against the Phillies?
Not a majority of them, but I think you could tack on an extra 10 to 15% on Kohler today just based on the Phillies and his price and the bats that you can get. I think, like, if we didn't have Coors Field on the slate today, I don't think Kohler would be that popular, but I think – since you have that, you've got the Astros, you could do a full like 1-4 Astros stack if you use Kohler. I mean, there's a lot of good bats and good situations, you know, to give you incentive to use a guy like Kohler today.
I think there is too, but on DK you can go to Brian Mitchell for 4,400.
Yeah, but he's not a starter, he's a reliever. You know, he's maxed out at 36 pitches this season, a guy like Mitchell. So I mean, you got strikeout upside with Kohler. You got the team to do it against. You got the ballpark to do it in. Everything looks good for him today. And again, as I said, I watched Kohler's last start. He was good. There were just a couple at-bats, two-pitch counts, or when he had two strikes, and the guy just couldn't finish a couple of these Cardinals off. I think without a doubt that he finishes off a lot of these Phillies.
I agree, so...
Here's another interesting arm, and then, you know, we could just kind of give one-liners for these guys, but as I mentioned, I used Sean Manaea yesterday going up against the Indians. Matt Moore today against the Indians, and he's going to get the Indians without the DH, and the lineup that the Indians put out there to face a lefty yesterday, not that great after, you know, you get through Jose Ramirez, so that's 6-7-8-9. That's going to work well for him. And look, I'm well aware that Matt Moore has absolutely sucked over the last couple. But again, this one's at AT&T Park. He'll get to go against a pitcher that never hits. So that could be two free strikeouts. I think that there are some pluses here to this. But again, the thing that worries me, though, Matt Moore has given up a batting average of over an opposing batting average of over 400 to left-handed hitters this season. So That certainly worries me, and the Indians have a couple lefties there that they could use. I know Kipnis is on the DL, but Brantley's still there.
You want to know the difference between Matt Moore and Josh Tomlin? I have them back-to-back right here. Okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
The difference, their numbers are almost identical, okay? Except for two.
All right.
One, Josh Tomlin's Sierra is a 4.31 compared to Matt Moore's 5.
Oh, my.
Okay. They've got basically the same BABIP, the same K percentage. The other outlying number is Josh Tomlin's walk rate's a 2.70, by far the lowest on the slate compared to Matt Moore's 9. Here's the issue, though.
Okay.
The Indians, we talked about this, the Indians versus left-handed pitching right now over the last 30 days, 371 wOBA, 170 – or 372 wOBA. Wait. sorry. 371 wOBA, 179 ISO, and a 15.03 strikeout percentage.
Oh, my.
Where is – I get it. He is by far cheap as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But where is the ability to, like – it's very, very, very difficult.
I wonder if Matt Moore was in the stands at O.co yesterday with binoculars watching Manaea do his thing. I wonder.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But
I get the thing with Manaea, too. He did have good BVP numbers against a lot of these Indians. And again, the lineup that they put out yesterday was just quite pathetic at the bottom. So again, that is something to watch out for. Now, I know that the Indians like to sometimes use Carlos Santana in right field, when they play in an NL park. We'll see how that happens, but I don't know if they're going to do that since, AT&T Park is, he'll have to do a lot of running if a ball goes in the gap over there. So I doubt we'll see Carlos Santana, but should be interesting nonetheless. I heard you mention Daniel Gossett. He's a guy that's gotten ripped constantly, but he does get this Rays team who does strike out a lot. What do you like behind him?
The fact that he's cheap and he could get a cheap win because Jake Odorizzi sucks on the road.
Yeah.
The guy's got to pitch better. He's got a 3.7 strikeout rate. He's got almost a 50% ground ball rate. He's got one of the lowest fly ball rates on the slate. The Rays aren't that great on the road. A lot of their production has come at home this season. Now, I know they hit right-handed pitching that are good, but I mean, if he's 5,400 on DK, what is he on FanDuel here? 65. Okay, so he's a little bit more expensive, at least on DK. I need, 12 points out of him? go deep into the game, get me a couple strikeouts, give me six innings, two earned runs, and 5 Ks, and I'll be happy.
As Metallica once said, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
So, I mean, this is a guy that pitched in the seventh against Houston and had six strikeouts and only allowed two earned runs. He's got the ability to do it. Now Houston lit him up the next time they faced him, but he's got the ability to do it. So... It's not sexy, and it's not one that is, for the faint of heart, but it is an option.
All right, let's play the yay or nay game real quick before we get to some bats. Zach Wheeler.
Against the Cardinals in New York. Oh. Meh.
Okay. All right. Middle. How about on the other side of that matchup? Adam Wainwright against the Mets.
Is Yoenis Cespedes going to be in the lineup?
Probably.
Then no.
Okay. Cespedes, by the way, 3-17 career against Wainwright. Chad Kuhl against the Milwaukee Brewers.
No.
Good. I wasn't it. And then Erod making his first start off the DL.
He's interesting.
And a lot of these Blue Jays, except for Russell Martin, the Blue Jays have struggled against him. I believe they have a collective opposing batting average of 212 or something like that. It's not good.
Yeah, he's interesting. I want to know if he's going to be on a pitch count.
Okay.
And if that pitch count is around, 90 to 100, then I'm fine with it.
Okay. This will be his first start since, I believe, June 1st. So, plenty of time to rest up, heal, and all that. Also had the All-Star break. So, yes, we will find that information out for you. Slack chat members will know the answer to that later. And then last but not least, your boy, Herman Marquez against the Padres. Did have a career-high 9 strikeouts the last time he faced the Padres, but he also gave up, I believe, 6 earned runs in 5 innings. So, yay or nay on Marquez.
Marquez is coming back from coming back from AAA. They sent him down before the All-Star break. To extend him back again because they're trying to limit some of these rookies' innings, and that kind of backfired when Tyler Chatwood went on the DL with a calf strain.
Very quick outing the other day.
Yeah, 5 batters. Thanks. Thanks for that. And, before that, he had only allowed 1 earned run in 17 innings at Citi Field.
Interesting. I did not know that.
But... evidently, that happened in the bullpen, and he thought he could pitch through it, and he couldn't push off.
Ah.
So he couldn't – everything that he did was up.
Gotcha.
So that's nice to know. But I don't mind it, but I'm definitely this is a place where I definitely would hedge with a couple San Diego stacks.
All right. Keep in mind, one of the guys that gave him a lot of trouble in the matchup, Yandervis Solarte. I believe he's got two career homers. That might have all happened in the same game, but no. Obviously he's not there for the Padres. So.
Yeah, it's this is a different Padres team. They don't have nearly the power threat, but Will Myers absolutely just goes bananas in Coors. I don't mind.
I loved me some Padres yesterday. I had Carlos Asuaje and Hector Sanchez won me all the – well, it was Hector Sanchez that won me all the money, but still.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, you've got to kind of – you got to kind of take into consideration, this is Coors. It still is the best ballpark in the in Major League Baseball, but it's not been the same ability. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Rockies' offense has not clicked all year. Like, they've clicked at times, like, for a couple games, but on an extended homestand, they have not just absolutely just dominated our competition. And it's very odd and weird. The Padres aren't even in the top 10 as far as teams projected run total.
Wow.
For an 11 total, they are still projected under 5 runs, and that's going down.
That's interesting. Very interesting. And also keep in mind, too, Padres, number one strikeout rate against right-handed pitching.
Yes.
Like, they're the worst. They're not, like, the best. They're the worst.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Let us talk about some bats today. We always begin with the catchers. We'll do the same. Who you like in there?
James McCann going up against a lefty.
Okay.
This kind of goes back to our Detroit stack.
Now, which is interesting because Alex Avila actually has good BVP numbers against Vargas. So
I think you'll see both of them in there.
Okay. Good to know.
I think you could see both of them in there. I think Avila could end up being the DH or play first base, and Miggy could be the DH or whatever.
Avila needs something. He is not right.
You know, it's something. Or with that, you know, with Avila struggling right now, I mean, but – you know, I don't think over the last 30 days, 566 wOBA, 538 ISO versus left-handed pitching for James McCann. I think it's, you know, by far the best play of the day. And it's not going to cost you a lot. He's only 2,400 on DK, 2,300 on FanDuel. So
very nice. Very nice. Now, I think he had a pretty big game recently, no, McCann?
Yeah.
Was that yesterday?
I don't know if it was yesterday or not, but I know to have a 538 ISO versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days, you had to have had big days at some point.
Good point. All right. Very good. Let's see here. Yeah, I think Russell Martin, who I just mentioned not too long ago, he's got the good BVP numbers there against Eduardo Rodriguez. He is 3-for-9. 538 on base percentage against him in 13 plate appearances, 2 extra base hits, one of those being a home run against Erod. So that's an interesting one. And then I mentioned the Texas guys, whether it's Robinson Chirinos or Jonathan Lucroy, whoever's in the lineup today. I really like them a lot. Neither one is too expensive on FanDuel. And again, love the Rangers stack today. So, for me, whoever gets to start is going to get heavy consideration for me, but course that McCann one that you put out there, tough to overlook that as well.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy what's going on there. So
Wilson Contreras also leads the majors with 8 hits since the beginning of, I guess, since the All-Star break in the 3 games. I guess the benefit of facing Baltimore Orioles pitching certainly helped him out a lot and the rest of that Cubs team, so give that a look. And then Evan Gattis going up against extreme fly ball lefty Ariel Miranda tonight for the Astros. Could end up being a low-owned piece of that Astros team that you can get a piece of. Maybe not, but either way, he's in a good spot.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of how crazy the pricing is today, Bruce Maxwell's 2,800 on both sites, and he doesn't have near the upside that James McCann does.
No, not at all.
I also like, you know, obviously, he's kind of struggling a little bit. So on FanDuel, you can actually get him at a pretty big discount. He's a little bit more expensive on DK, but Buster Posey going up against Josh Tomlin. I don't mind that at all either. So he's over the last 30 days, 266 wOBA, 78 ISO. Not Buster Posey's best stretch of baseball, but he is still Buster Posey, and he still is having a good year, and he's not going to be held down for long.
He hit a big homer for me on Friday, which helped me win a lot of money. So
yeah, he's come through for me a couple times this year. We had a lot of people talking about, you know, how Buster Posey was just an average guy and he needed to get out of that cleanup hole because he has no power. And then ever since then, it's like he stuck the middle finger up in the air and said, let's go.
Well, he still is one of the leading hitters in the league in terms of average. But yeah, that ballpark really does not do him any favors.
Yeah, but he started to hit for more power recently, which is something that, you know, I kind of like. Another one that's
interesting. But honey, it's Buster Posey.
No kidding. Another one that's actually kind of interesting is Jonathan Lucroy, if he's in that lineup. He's absolutely sucked this year. Like, let's not, you know, try to paint a dog pink. He's been horrible this year. But, you know, he is going up against Chris Tillman, who's been probably equally as bad.
Yep. All right. That's all I got for catchers. Anybody else? You good? Yep. All right. First baseman. Who you like there? There's a lot today.
Yeah, there is a lot. Because here's what – I would not consider this guy outside of a Rocky stack. But if Mark Reynolds is back in that lineup, then he had another four hits yesterday.
Oh, everybody had four hits for the Rockies yesterday.
I know, but Mark Reynolds,
Charlie hit two homers on the same play.
No kidding. But Mark Reynolds had been in an 0-for-28 streak.
Oh my.
You know, and I think he's worn down. I think with the ability to have outfield depth, you're going to start seeing Ian Desmond play more first base, because God knows we can't have Gerardo Parra playing first base. I mean, that has a lot to do with with John Gray's blow up the other night. But, you know, it was, or sorry, Chapman's blow up, or Chris Russon's, or whoever's. But Mark Reynolds having four hits, that's a good sign for him. So I would do him in a Rocky stack, but not as a one off. I like Mike Napoli, obviously, going up against Chris Tillman, 373 ISO in the last 30 days. Yuli Gurriel has been crushing the ball. Like, there was talk that they could not find a spot for this guy early in the season because he just wasn't hitting. Ever since then, he has just absolutely turned it around and turned it on. Brandon Belt, we got to watch out for him being in the lineup. I know he was scratched yesterday.
Almost got me last second.
Yeah, he was scratched yesterday. And then, you know, you can go Lucas Duda, Logan Morrison, Justin Smoke. Those are a lot of lefty power guys today. So
yeah, you mentioned Justin Smoke. He's actually going up against the lefty, Eduardo Rodriguez. So, you know, 384, 1.083 OPS against left-handed pitching this season. Gets to take aim at that green monster. So that's not a bad move there. Lot of talent at first base today, though. Like Anthony Rizzo going up against Julio Teheran. Teheran's been absolutely terrible at home. Rizzo kind of got in that groove a little bit there. Hit a homer in his last at-bat yesterday in Baltimore. He's not bad. Logan Morrison had the ultimate bat flip on his homer yesterday. Gossett has been getting crushed by left-handed pitchers or left-handed hitters so far this season. So he's an interesting way to go there. I know Edwin Encarnacion, he's homered against Matt Moore before. I do like Moore, but hey, Edwin Encarnacion can take time out of his busy schedule to homer off of Matt Moore in that game, so I don't mind that. Justin Bour, Jared Eichhoff, he's pretty terrible against lefties. I know, I'm a Philly fan, so Bour can certainly get busy. He's actually been pretty good at home too this season, so I don't mind that. You mentioned Napoli. Thames, the lefty, going up against Cool, which isn't bad. I actually don't mind the combo of the KC first baseman today either. Brandon Moss, Eric Hosmer for the Royals going up against Jordan Zimmermann. So, you know, you're talking about the hot temperatures out there in the Midwest. That could be a good thing for both fellas.
I just first base is so loaded today.
Loaded.
I think you can win with the multiple different ways. The question is you know, what is the best way? We can't forget about Josh Bell either.
No.
I mean, he's just been going bananas. So
he does get the lefty and Suter today though.
Yeah, sweet. you want him going from the left side, but how far do we think that Brent Suter's really going to go?
Six innings.
Okay, I mean, so we have possibly one to two at bats, with him going right or from the left side possibly, unless they match. I mean, it's not fantastic, but. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he gets in a bat or two from the right side or from the left side. So
not at all. And you're certainly getting lower ownership as well. So
yeah,
keep that in mind. All right, let's move it to the second base side of things. I think, you know, Jose Altuve's got 12 plate appearance or 12 at bats against, Ariel Miranda, three hits against him in his career. But again, he could be a vital piece of this Astros stack today. There are two guys, though, that I'm pretty interested in. And our boy, Chopodong, make sure you follow him on Twitter. He's always got a lot of great stuff, at Chopodong. He's a big proponent about this, kind of put me into this mindset as well. But having the guys that have the good BVP and running hot, it's kind of a no-brainer kind of a moment. But we got two guys like that at the second baseman position today that I wanted to point out. DJ LeMahieu, your boy from the Rockies, good numbers against Perdomo and running hot at the moment. And then Brandon Phillips, five doubles since the All-Star break, and he's got the matchup today against Lester, one that he's done pretty well in, 8-for-24 in his career against him. So both of those guys are very interesting today.
They are interesting. They are very, very interesting. The problem I have with DJ is this, is he can't run right now. He's nursing a groin. Now he's still going to be in the lineup and he still can hit and everything. So that I'm not worried about, but he is nursing that groin. So if it's going to be like a close play at second for him to stretch out a double or something like that, he's not going to push it. They've instructed him to not push it. So it's what he would normally have as a triple would end up being a double for him.
No so, salt and pepper songs for him today.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. He's got to hit the ball hard, which he does a lot, but normally he's your average guy. He's your singles guy. I don't mind it for cash games, except for the fact that, you know, he's cheap. Or he's a little bit more expensive than I'm willing to pay for a guy that, you know, isn't going to be able to use his legs.
Sure.
You know, and the other thing I'm worried about is if the game gets out of hand, he could be one of those guys that comes out pretty quick. But okay. If the game gets out of hand, I think he has a play in it, so it's kind of twofold. They moved Matt Carpenter back to second base on FanDuel.
Did they?
Are you kidding me? He hasn't played second base all year.
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where they do it for a day. Like, I forgot who they did that with, but they put the guy at the position for the day, and then he was right back the next day. I don't know, but that's interesting. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's a joke.
It is a joke. But hey, you know what? Might as well take advantage of it while you can.
He hasn't played.
It's okay. Let it be. Rugi Odor and his horses in Baltimore today. That could be a good spot. But hey, we've got Odor there. Pretty good price there at 3,200 on FanDuel. But his teammate, Drew Robinson, also there at second base today. You know, you're going to get him for the minimum price on FanDuel. He'll probably be batting seventh in that Rangers lineup, but this guy's got some pop. He's a good young talent. I could get down with that. The guy's got three homers since being called up. Well, not since being called up, but, you know, he's only played in five games this season. But, yeah, he's got some big point totals here today. Again, if everybody's getting in on the action against the Orioles today, I doubt anybody's going to be on Drew Robinson, but I really like this play a lot at min price on FanDuel.
Yeah, our favorite boy, Jed Lowry, is kind of running a little cold right now. So
homered yesterday, though.
Yes, kinda he did. But he still
knocked me from the top dollar amount yesterday, that son of a bitch. But
yep.
Okay.
And he's still cheap. You,
Jed.
Double
ear flaps a la Shane Victorino.
Also, Andrew Cashner gets the Baltimore Orioles and the best hitter on the Orioles this year.
Oh, shit. Sesma.
Jonathan Scope, come on, man.
That is, you're right. What was I thinking? I've heard Seth Smith's name like
in trade rumors.
And we're talking about second baseman, so why would we be talking about Seth Smith? But yeah, you're right. He's been like everywhere in the trade rumors. But yeah, I like that play with Scope too.
So I mean, that's a good possibility.
Oh man. All right. When will the show end? Another guy at second base. I like Jonathan VR today. Again, lefty going up against Chad Kuhl there. And, you know, I always don't mind stolen base upside against the Pirates. For whatever reason, they have, like, the worst pitchers in the league at holding base runners on. I have no idea what Kuhl's story is, but, hey, let's say it's osmosis running through the whole pitching staff, eh?
I mean, yeah, sure. Okay. I can't forget about Jose Altuve either, so.
Yes. Mentioned him at the top, but yeah, didn't go too in depth on him. And then also D Gordon, lefties hit Jared Eichhoff pretty well. Gordon get on base a couple times, stolen base upside as well. So keep that in mind. All right. Third baseman, got to lead it off. Your boy, Arenado. We were just talking about guys that are hot and have BVP and all in one big swoop. Well, Arenado fits the bill today. So we'll lead off with him there. He does have two career homers and 10 at-bats against Perdomo. That's good.
Yeah, he does. And it's kind of one of those things that you have to really, 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 you know, attack. And I don't – he's the best third baseman in baseball.
Yeah, I kind of would giggle when you said that earlier. But, yeah, watching it – I mean, complete for sure with the defense and everything. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
swing a good stick as well.
There's other guys. I mean, you're going to have Nick Castellanos going against the lefty. You got, you know, Matt Chapman going against Jake Odorizzi.
Love my Matt Chapman.
Yeah, he's still only 2,100 on DK, by the way.
Double donged on Saturday, doubled yesterday. I don't know what the deal is with the wall in Oakland, how you got some spots that have the raised wall and the other ones that don't.
It's Oakland.
He hit that raised wall, like he hit it by like 6 inches, would have had another homer, which would have been 3 in 2 days for Matty Chapman. But he's not the min price on FanDuel anymore. I believe he's near it on DraftKings, so I'd like him more there.
Yeah, 2,100 on DK, 25 on FanDuel. You can't not like it on either site.
I'm sorry, wait, 21, right, on DK you said?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, somebody mentioned that in the Slack chat today. That's why I remembered. But yeah, Chapman's not the bare minimum on FanDuel, but not too far from it either.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you've got, Alex Bregman's been hitting the ball pretty well lately. Let's see here. Miguel Sano with the twin stack. Travis Shaw, that's who I was looking at. Shaw going up against Chad Kuhl,
I think is a good
option as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Alex Bregman. Now, a lot of these Astros guys get all the, you know, they have the big numbers. They have a lot of the hype on them against left-handed pitching. You got, Altuve, Springer, and Correa all have, like, ridiculous numbers against left-handed pitching. Alex Bregman has really good numbers, but they're just not – they're just like a couple ticks below the numbers there, the big three there on the Astros. So, yeah, definitely don't shy away from Bregman. He's got some pop. And, yeah, again, you want low ownership to the Astros tonight? Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. At third base, I also had Mike Moustakas tonight going up against Jordan Zimmerman. That could be a nice move there. And then, you know, you mentioned Matt Chapman. I already had there, too. Ryan Healy, I like him. He hit the ball well all day yesterday, but didn't find the grass twice. Had one right at a fielder and another nice play, or else he would have had about 50 points yesterday. Evan Longoria has been swinging it really well lately for the Rays. He's going to get that good matchup there against Gossett. Don't mind that. And then Chris Bryant's been swinging well lately. But again, remember, he did a lot of that against the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend. So, keep it in mind. And then Nick Castellanos also against the lefty. Not a terrible idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, shortstop. So we like him there.
Let's see. Trevor Story had a good game yesterday. He's kind of always hit and miss. Great GPP play. I mean, you've got Carlos Correa. Jose Reyes has been absolutely on fire lately. So is Paul DeJong. Yeah, very, very quietly. I mean, shortstop's actually kind of, you know, nice today. I think the one I'm going to on FanDuel at least is going to be Elvis Andrews.
I like it.
Just because, I mean, he's cheap and he's going against Chris Tillman.
Oh, dude, you don't have to, you know, sell me on Elvis Andrews. I was there during the days of June and July there, where he had some of his biggest games of the season. And again, remember, when Elvis Andrews was putting up these big games, it sucked because Carlos Correa in the same state was doing like double the work that he was doing. So nobody really noticed it. But yeah, Elvis Andrews, very cheap today in Baltimore. I like that play a lot. Let's see here. Obviously, I think a lot of people that go with, you know, with Tom Kohler or go down at pitching today, they're going to have a lot of Carlos Correa as part of their Astros stack. He is ridiculously expensive on FanDuel today, but again, for good reason. Marcus Semien is back in our lives. He's got good BVP against Odorizzi, and he's been hitting very well lately. So I like him a lot. Very cheap there. I had him yesterday, didn't he? Well. You mentioned Paul DeJong. Absolutely killed the Mets before the break, so let's see if he could do it again. Addison Russell is going to be in SunTrust Park today. I don't mind that. And then here's a guy that I don't think we've ever talked about on the podcast, but from that same Cubs-Braves game, Jonathan Camargo. And part of the reason that we don't talk about him is because he bats eighth for the Braves, but he is against left-handed pitching this season. He's 15 for 31, five doubles, a triple, and a homer. I mean, those are elite numbers against the lefty. That's just a tick below 500. But, you know, you want to get crazy in GPPs. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, I don't mind that either.
All right, cool. And could have some stolen base upside against Lester today. So keep that in mind. All right.
Here's the thing with that. We say that, but Contreras is actually good about throwing runners out, and that has not proven to be a combo that you want to try to pick on, because it hasn't worked out. So now I'm not saying that it won't work out. I'm just saying, you know, history this season has not allowed it to work out as we thought it might.
As a guy on Twitter, well, as I responded to a guy on Twitter who tried to get all up in my shit yesterday, daily fantasy baseball. I understand the season-long numbers. It's just for one day.
Right, but you take this season-long to try to predict on what's going to happen on that day.
No shit, we do it all the time. But when you try to go against me, I got to say it's daily fantasy baseball.
I'm just saying that if you can play him, I think he's got upside against Lester, but don't sit there and think that he's going to be Billy Hamilton and try to steal four bases off of him.
I gotcha.
Because with Contreras behind the plate now, I don't think it's as viable as it was, say, last year.
Sure.
So, and everybody makes such a big deal about Lester, you know, and his troubles and everything, that I think they blindly try to pick on it.
Sure enough. All right, outfielders, we got a ton of them, just like we did first baseman. So who you got?
It's JD Martinez against the lefty day.
That is correct. Death, taxes, and JD Martinez against left-handed pitching.
Yep.
My favorite saying in all of baseball.
Oh, I thought that was, it's not over until it's over. Or baseball is 95% metal and 50% physical, or whatever
it was. Oh, no. That's like number four on my list.
Gotcha.
Or my number two, of course, rub some dirt on it.
That's awesome.
That's second favorite. All right. All right. JD Martinez is there. I like that a lot. Don't forget, Aaron Judge is up against a left-handed pitcher this season. His numbers against lefties are out of this world. Not JD Martinez out of this world, but they're pretty damn good. Great hitters park for him there at Target Field tonight as well. So I really like that. We haven't even talked about any Yankees today, but again, they're not that great against left-handed pitching, but Judge pretty much doing it all single-handedly by himself. So I like that. Can't forget George Springer, 4 of 11 with 4 dongs against Miranda. I think 3 of them have come this season.
Here's how loaded outfield is tonight. Okay. According to DFSA grades, guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Chris Davis, they are not even in the top 15.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah, that's how loaded outfield is. I kind of like Jose Azuna, a little mini pirate stack. Jose Azuna, Andrew McCutchen. They've been
McCutchen,
hitting the ball.
Fabulous numbers against left-handed pitching.
Yep, so does Jose Azuna. You know, George Springer, obviously, part of that Houston Astros stack.
Sure.
I mean...
Your Rockies boys, Blackman, Parra, who we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and depending on who they throw out there in that other spot.
I don't want to beat it over the head, but again, lefties against Eichhoff, so Christian Yelich could be in for a big night. I think he's got pretty good numbers against Eichhoff in his career.
Yeah. Also, the Rangers outfielders.
Yep, we've got that. No more Mazzaris.
Trey Mancini is no longer a first baseman on FanDuel. He's an outfielder.
Outfielder, very nice. I could get down with that. Yep. Really like the Cubs outfielders tonight. Kyle Schwarber, Ian Happ, Ben Zobrist. Huge park upgrade for him tonight against Tehran, who really sucks. We were talking about stacks low-owned. Cubs definitely looking like they could be, just with everything else that we got on the slate tonight. So that's an interesting one. Alex Gordon is $100 off the minimum on FanDuel. He's going to get a nice matchup against Jordan Zimmermann. I like that. Dexter Fowler, severely underpriced on FanDuel as well, under 3,000. He had a decent game there yesterday, so I like him against Wheeler. And again, we've talked about this at Citi Field. I love lefties at Citi Field. That right field, that is very underrated for power hitters at Citi Field. So keep that in mind there. It's very short down that right field line. Nobody ever talks about that. And I don't know, whatever. And then here's an interesting one. Brett Phillips, right? The rookie for the Brewers that laughs like a weirdo. He hit his first MLB homer yesterday. Wonder if he gets the start today up against Chad Kuhl. That would be an interesting play to go with. He's damn near. He probably is minimum price there, so I don't mind him. And then again, Odubel Herrera, my boy, my Philly boy. Yeah, I like Kohler. So what? But, again, lefties against Kohler, they've given him some issues. And, again, we've seen this probably 2-3 times already this season, but when Odubel Herrera is hot, he doesn't stop.
Yeah,
but when he's ice cold, he just sucks.
No kidding. So it's kind of one of those things that you've got to pay attention to. That's why I started doing the last 30 days on the DFSA grades, because try to catch some of these hot streaks, because I don't care really what the guy did in April and May now. I want to know what he's done the last, 30 days. So that's pretty good. Gregory Polanco has been hitting the ball pretty good lately. You could throw him in with that stack. And are we picking on Marcus Stroman tonight in Boston?
You sure as hell could. Collective 331 batting average for the Red Sox against them over their careers.
Okay. Well, that just answers that question.
Yeah, that can happen. Hey, you know what's interesting? And you just mentioned it. So you have – we've got pretty much – we got you covered – for almost every player throughout the month in baseball in the DFS Army, because I'm a big proponent in my articles of doing the last 7 days, Burnsy with the analytics corner, a lot of last 14 days. And then you with the VIP page got a lot of the last 30 days going on. So you get it all, folks. So if you see somebody popping off in all three phases of last couple days or whatever, I think you got a winner.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to kind of approach it. And it's a lot of fun. So
indeed. All right, so we're done with the podcast today. I told Keith before I've got a package coming at some point between now and 8 p.m. Eastern time today. And I said, if the package comes, I gotta stop for a second and then you could just, you know, go on without me. Luckily, the package didn't come. We're all good. The podcast went off without a hitch. This is our first one in a while. So good to be back on the airwaves with everybody.
Yep. With the All-Star break and with me going to Dallas and everything, it kind of turned out to be a nice little break from the pod, but we're back and ready to go, and we'll have some fun. Make
right
some money.
Right down the stretch, baby. Yes, indeed. All right, so once again, we'll run through the promos that we got going on here for the site. If you're not a member with us, try us out for 7 free days by using the promo code podcast. Oh, I'm sorry, by using the promo code WIN, W-I-N. And again, we've got the U.S. Open coming up on Thursday. So with free access to the site, you can use the domination station and everything like that. Build up to 150 lineups if you're a multi-entry kind of fella, unlike myself. But it's a great way to get involved with that. You could use all the VIP tools that we got for the MLB page and everything. Been winning a ton of money for our subscribers, so make sure you check us out. And again, if you want to sign up for good with us, use the promo code podcast and you get 20% off each month of your subscription. A lot of great ways to get some cheap access to the Army. We're giving it to you, folks. We'd love to have you. So come on board with us. For me, Keith, the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.